Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our Sunday service today. My name is Kuda, for those of you that might not know me, and I would like to welcome everybody on this level, that level, and anybody watching now or whenever you watch it online. So welcome to this lovely service. Well, we certainly have planned some nice songs and some great times to have later on, and Brian is going to come and give us a word where he's talking about are you ready to let God ease your burdens? So a lot of our songs are about giving ourselves over to God, sharing the strength that he gives us jointly, and things along those lines. So when we are singing, you can stand or you can sit, whatever is comfortable for you and whatever you are able to do. Please feel free, and you're very welcome to do that. We do not have a collection plate that goes round in this service, but we have boxes at the back, well, which is the entrance when you're coming in, and the entrance to the more important room, the tea and coffee lounge, there's a box just there if you feel you want to give any donation to the work of the Lord. I know a lot of us are giving electronically and through bank transfers, so you know we appreciate all that people give to the work that the Lord does through our church and ministry. So thank you for that. Just a few notices before we go any further, and I hope everybody managed to pick up a notice sheet as you came in. Bev is just trying to keep us all on our toes, so she has made a deliberate error in saying that Brian was doing a double header and preaching this evening, but he's not. Brian will be doing Digging Deeper next Sunday. So that Digging Deeper is next Sunday. This evening will be a reflective service that also includes communion. So if you're able to join us again at 6:30, please do come to that. One of our members got married yesterday. That's Terry. She got married to Raina. And they had a really, truly beautiful wedding. And I know some of us from the service, from the church, were there to celebrate with them. But just to let you know that her father, unfortunately, was taken ill during the time of the service and the few hours leading up to it, and he's now in Maidstone Hospital in the stroke unit waiting further tests this week coming up. So if we could remember him in our prayers, that would be really great. Thank you very much. The youth had a lovely time at Bright Hour. We had 5 young people go to Bright Hour to meet with the 18 older ladies. Ladies of experience, I call them, that were there, and we had a lovely time of fellowship. And this was also compounded by one of the ladies saying, well, I did start talking to that young man, but I didn't really finish the conversation, so we had a home visit as well. So if anybody does want to open their house out, I'm always up for a cup of tea, and I will definitely be accompanying. Then, you know, let's keep the conversation going with the young people. Let's find out what they're doing and what they're interested in, and let's tell them what we're doing and interested in, so we can bridge that gap between the generations, because we are a multi-generational, multi-denominational, what else does Nathan say? You know, we're just that sort of church. We'll take anyone. And in light of that, I am going to take you on a trip. Today we're going to sing a Shona song. Oh, I know, right? We are encouraging people from other cultures, which there are quite a lot of us, to sort of have their stamp. And you know me, I like a challenge. So you only have to learn one word in Shona, okay? If I could ask the tech team to bring that song up just on there so that you can have a look at it. I'm just going to show you what it looks like. Let's go to the confusing verse. That's the one. Makanaka. Shona is easy because you say what you see. Makanaka. And I think the Jesu bit, I think you know what that means, right? Jesus. Right? So, Makanaka Jesu. We're going to sing it within the, once we start doing the songs, to praise and worship God. And Makanaka means you are good. It means you are good. So we are saying, Jesus, you are good. Jesus, you are good. Hallelujah. Amen. I think those words are familiar. And just for this song, when we were rehearsing it, I was saying, I know you can say it in different ways, but in this way, for this song, it's better to say amen. rather than amen. And you'll get a feel of it once we sing it. We're going to sing it a few times. And it's got other verses in English just to familiarize you, make it more comfortable. But it's just one word. I think we can cope. Thank you very much for that. I appreciate your indulgence. Right, we're going to do the birthday box now so that once we start praising and worshiping God, everything just stays together. So, any of the older generation had a birthday? Anybody? Brett? Yay, Brett! Oh, excellent. Happy birthday, Brett. I know we have also got Joseph. His birthday has an O in it. He's only 20. But Joseph has a special birthday that was yesterday. So both of you don't qualify to come to the birthday box for a present. So sorry, Brett, but we will be singing for you. Babs. Babs is not here because Babs' birthday is coming up. And she's gone away to be with her. Her friends are coming round today, and then she's going to her sister's to celebrate her birthday. So we won't see her for two Sundays. But it is Bab's birthday. For those of you that know and want to celebrate with her, do send her a message. Any of the young people got a birthday this last week? Yay! Hello. Hi. Excellent. Come forward, sweetheart. Excellent. Right. If you turn around so that everybody can see you. You look gorgeous. Very. Yeah. A lot of effort put in. Well done, sweetie. Right, so what's your name? Temi.
Temi.
Femi. Femi, that's a beautiful name. And how old are you going to be, or how old are you now?
Six.
You're going to be six. Ah, wonderful. I can't remember being six, but that was a long time ago. Right, you can get to choose any present you want from here. Okay, what do you think you like the look of? I'll get the football out of the way because I think we might be safe from that. You don't want to play football in that dress. Anything you like the look of? You want the doll? Yeah, that was easy. Okay, will you stand here because you're representing Joseph, Brett, Barbs. Okay, and we're going to sing happy birthday to you and everybody else that's have a birthday. Thank you. Happy birthday. Sweetheart, well done. Excellent. Oh, wonderful. Very brave. Well done. Happy sixth birthday, Femi, and everybody else who's celebrating their birthdays. So, now we're going to go into our time of praising and worshiping God and just appreciating His presence in this place. So, I've chosen some songs, and I do like to sort of say why I've chosen them. The first one we're going to sing is "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." So today we are looking at giving our burdens to God, but in spite of us having burdens, God has been good, and God has done great things. Sometimes we forget because of all the burdens that we have, but He has been good already. If we look in the past, we can see the great things He has done. That's why I chose that one. And then blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. When we have Jesus in our lives, we pretty much have everything we need. We have everything. We can't see it sometimes, but we do have everything we need. We're going to sing those two songs, and then we're going to have a time of just quiet contemplation where you can then give your burdens to the Lord. You can give your worries, your cares, come to the altar and lay your burdens down before the Lord. And then after that, we are going to sing "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear." We're going to sing it quite up-tempo when we were doing the practice, quite a joyful thing, because we have a friend in Jesus, because we can lay those burdens down. Trials and temptations, is there trouble anywhere? Take it to the Lord in prayer and don't take it back. Take it and don't take it back. And then we're going to sing "To the Glory of God, Makanaka Jesu." You are good. You take our burdens, you sort them out, and you don't give them back to us. So all of the songs I've chosen are all linked up. And then after that, I'll come and have a word. So with the four songs, especially the time of contemplation, please do sit down if you feel you want to. Don't feel you have to stand for all four songs. Okay. Right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
God, we just praise and glorify you right now. We thank you that indeed we can have a sure and glorious story. We can have a sure and glorious story because of Jesus, who bled and died for our sakes, Lord, to bring us to a place where we can lay our burdens down at your feet. So, Lord, any sickness we have, we lay them at your feet. We lay Graham at your feet, O Lord God, for the perfect healing from the stroke. We thank you, O God, because we know you are the great healer. We lay our burdens down of lack, knowing that you, O Lord, can provide every one of our needs, that you can fulfill every empty gap that we have in our lives. We glorify and honor you, Lord, because there is nothing that is impossible with you. We praise you and we honor you, God. And we appreciate you this morning, knowing that anything we need, whether it is strength for our bodies, food on our tables, money in the bank, Lord, the Bible tells us you have the cattle on 1,000 hills. There is nothing you cannot do. There is nothing you cannot give us at the right time. So we lay our burdens down and we praise you, Lord. We choose to praise you. Even in the midst of the storms, we choose to acknowledge you are good to us. You are honest. You are honorable. You are admirable. You are great. You're a great and awesome God. And we just appreciate you, Lord. Blessed be your name, mighty King. Blessed be your name. We thank you that we have a friend in Jesus, O God, that we can come to you at any time of the day or night. Praise you, O God. We glorify you.
Amen. Amen.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you so much. Please take your seats. Woo! Oh. Woo-hoo-hoo. I can't even tell you how much it gladdens my heart to praise the Lord with you in my own language. Oh, it means more. It does mean so much. And I can see Busi, Marjorie, Taffy, I see you guys up there praising with me on a different level. Because, you know, you cannot praise the Lord like you can in your own language. And I just want to thank you for that. And I'm so glad I'm in a church that is open to that sort of thing. God bless you. Thank you so much. No, I know. We will do more of that. I'm going to teach you some more words. Don't you worry. One word for today. Let's tick that box. Yes, they did well. They coped. And, you know, I just want to thank God for that opportunity. And I'm just going to share a little bit before we let the children go out to their groups. I was praying and thinking about what God wanted me to say to you today in this little bit before Brian comes and gives us the word for today. And when he said it, I said, no, I'm not saying that. And then I said, give me something else. And he said, no. And then I said, well, all right, I'll try and sweeten it down. But he was like, no, it's got to be the way it is. And you know what I'm like. I'll just go with the Lord, you know, where he's going. So I'm still reading Ezekiel, for those of you that are keeping tabs. And where Ezekiel 43, I've read a few weeks ago, and when I was thinking, last time, I think you might remember that I said that God was measuring out in this vision to Ezekiel the temple, and he was very specific, and it was the south gate had to be so far away from the north gate, and there was so many cubits and all of this, and very, very specific. And I said, that is how God has made us at that time. And he has made us very specifically, my hair color, my eye color, my height, my personality, everything about me had to be just so for God. Because it had to be different to Paul and to Carol and to everybody else. So in your uniqueness, you should celebrate. And then he went further and he said that in Ezekiel 43, verse 4, and the glory of the Lord came into the temple by the way of the gate which faces towards the east. That is me, the temple. I am the temple. And the glory of the Lord came by an exact and specific way into my life. That could be from reading the Bible. It could be from watching other people, which I do and enjoy quite a lot, and seeing what they are doing in their lives and reading them like a Bible. Because as far as I know, we do not have any more of the Bible written down. But your life and my life are the Bible. Yeah. If they were going to write the book according to Kuda, well, I don't know what that would look like. But, you know, you would read it, meditate on it, learn something from it. So because we don't have a different, you know, this is a different Paul, but he's not written any books of the Bible, but I can read from his life, meditate on it, learn from it, and grow. So the word of the Lord is coming to us by different ways. And one of the ways it comes to us is when we read the Bible. And when I was reading this and I was saying to the Lord, but what does that have to do with us? And he was saying, people have got burdens and things that they are complaining about. Why am I ill? Why does this hurt? Why do I not have the car that I want? Why do I have the car that I have? Why do I have the children? Why do I have these children that are so difficult and troublesome and everything else? And people are complaining about their burdens. But he said, when I made you, I designed everything about you. And when trouble comes from the east gate, it has been measured. Because God does not waste his resources. He didn't build me for nothing. It was for a plan and a purpose. And I try to live my life like that. That I am made for a plan and a purpose. And today, there is something I should do today. And I should not sleep until I've done it. So when I have trouble today, it's been measured by God to come through the east gate. But before he did any of that, he's done 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. My favorite, one of my favorite verses. And when we had this in Sunday school and when I was young, as a memory verse, I was like, come on. I mean, choose one of the longest verses in the Bible for a memory verse. No temptation has come except that which is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you will be able to bear it. When troubles come, when trials, temptation, everything else, you can bear it. So if we take at the top there, it says, no temptation except what is coming through the east gate that God has measured and made right for you at that time. If you had those troubles on Wednesday, maybe you cannot handle it. But now that it's come on Monday, you're fine because he has measured it and he has given you a way to bear it. And glorify him in that bearing. And that's what God was saying to me when I was reading Ezekiel. He was saying, I made you in a specific way. You have the strength, the wisdom, the knowledge that you need. If you come to my table and eat, if you pay attention and spend time with me, I will show you how to bear it. Because the middle part there said God is faithful. And he will not give you anything he has not measured for you for that day. So that pain and that trouble and all the difficulties with you, you can bear it. Because he has measured it and sent it through the right gate for you for that day. So when he gave me that hard word, it was like, right, all these people complaining about, I've got pains, I've got troubles, I've got tribulations and all these things and they're difficult. He said, I have given you the strength, I am faithful, you can bear it. And I was like, how? And he said, just spend time with me. And that was the word he gave me, and I was feeling a bit worried about giving it to you. But I have to do what God says, and that is what God said. When you have all those troubles and all those trials and all of those burdens that we are laying down to the Lord today, he has given you everything you need to bear it because he is building his temple. That's me. and that is you. Because the Spirit of God doesn't live out in the air. It lives in his holy temple. That's me. And that's you. I hope that does encourage you and give you strength. Young people, I hope you were listening. You can go out to your groups, and we pray that God blesses you and blesses your teachers and that you have fun and learn a lot about God. Okay, we'll just let them go out a minute. I love this song. I love this song. We have so many young people in the church. We actually have trouble. You have to pray for us. We're having the difficulty of having not enough room for one of the groups. We have about 23 teenagers attending on a weekly basis. And we have the younger kids that are in primary school. We have about 20 of them as well. And we have three that attend in creche. So we've got everything covered. And from what we saw at Big Church Day Out when we went on the 27th of May, God really has got it covered. God really has got a church out there that is strong in number. And there are plenty of us that are praising God even this morning. So wherever people are, you know, we just pray that God ministers his word. But we're going to sing one more song. And this is one you can sing sitting down before Brian comes and gives us the message. I'd just like to point out to anybody who's very interested that it's 2 minutes past 11. Because I usually overrun time, and today I've hit it on the head, so it's very possible. So we're going to sing Ancient Words, quite a solemn song, really, just as we open our hearts and dedicate our hearts to listening and receiving from God when Brian comes in. But I hope that throughout the service so far you have been receiving something and God has blessed you. So, okay. Thank you.
My thanks to Kuda and the worship team for leading us in the first part of this service, and a very good morning to each and every one of you. Nice to see you here this morning. Well, we come to the last in our sermon series entitled, Who Cares? Who Cares? I'm sure you'll all agree it's quite a common refrain. Who cares? Who cares about me? Who cares about you? Who cares what they said? Who cares what he said? Who cares what she said or did? Who cares? In our first sermon, Nathan led us through to tell us that God is always thinking of us. In fact, his thoughts are so numerous that they are equated to be more than the sand grains around the world. All the sand grains. God thinks about us more than that each and every day. And in the second sermon, he told us that God is always near us. You can't escape the presence of God. It doesn't matter if you go to the highest mountain or the deepest valley, God will be there. And in the last sermon that he took us through, he shared with us that God always loves us. God always loves us. And so I think we've built up a fairly clear picture that when we ask the question, who cares, at least we can be certain of this one thing. God cares. Amen. That's the picture that's been built up so far. Now this morning we're going to look at burdens and our cares and our ability, and even if we should, be able to come before God and to lay our burdens and our cares at his feet. So let's open up with the word of God. And this is from 1 Peter chapter 5. And it says this, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a little, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Christians must be the most stupid people of all groups on the earth. That might be the thought of our fictitious atheist this morning. Christians must be the most stupid of all people groups on the earth. And he would reason like this. Well, doesn't the leader of the Christian faith himself says that he who follows him will have persecution? And who in their right mind would want to sign up for anything where you willingly accept persecution? And then our fictitious atheist might then go on to point out things that it says in the Christian Bible. Does it not say in the Gospel of John, where Jesus says himself, I have told you these things so that you may, so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And then our fictitious atheist might go then on to say, from John chapter 15, the preceding chapter, where Jesus also said, remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. So in actual fact, our fictitious atheist seems to have reasonable points. Why would anyone in their right mind sign up and follow a religion, a faith, and a leader that invites or will have come upon them persecution? And our main verse, our focus verse this morning from the scripture that was read earlier is verse 7. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now I'm sure you all know that verse. It's a familiar verse, often cited and quoted during sermons and so on. But often I feel that it's just on its own, maybe thrown in amongst a lot of other of God's promises, something to make us feel that we're comfortable, that God loves us and God cares for us, and it's kind of thrown in there. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And we don't get the context. Now, context is really important when it comes to understanding the scriptures. This is something that often is cited in digging deeper. I'm sorry, digging deeper. Did you say, what is digging deeper? Well, I'm glad you asked. Digging Deeper is our monthly Bible study, and it happens next week. Not this week. Next week in the evening. Next week. That's what digging deeper is. And this morning we are going to dig a little deep. Not too deep, but we're going to have to dig a little deeper so we can get the context so that we might benefit from this verse. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. You see, Peter was writing to the churches of his day, churches that were in Asia Minor, because they were suffering persecution. And why were they being persecuted? It's because they were being persecuted for their faith and their obedience to Christ. That's why they were being persecuted. He tells them that God cares for them in the letter that we've just read, or a portion of it. He tells them that God cares for them. Peter also goes on to say how they should conduct themselves in the midst of this persecution. And he also reminds them of something quite important. He reminds them that they are lights in the dominion of darkness, and that the devil is at work against the saints of God. So we get a little bit of an idea of why the saints are being persecuted. Now, it's important as also to remember the date, or think about the date in which Peter wrote this, which was 61 to 63 AD. Now, why is that important? Well, you might remember from reading through the book of Acts and the rest of the New Testament that the Christian persecution was going on there. In fact, Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, was leading the charge to arrest Christians, to persecute them, some beatings here and there, and then throw them in the prison, and if it had his way, lock the key and maybe even take their life for good measure. That was Saul before he came face to face with the Lord Jesus in the vision, and of course went on to do great things for the Lord. So that was 61 to 63 AD. The letter was written. There was persecution already going on. But it's only a few years later, and we were studying this in Digging Deeper recently, that was known as the Roman-Jewish War. Now, the Roman-Jewish Wars was brutal. During that war, the Jews saw the total destruction, annihilation of their temple, the temple at Jerusalem. The whole of Jerusalem was laid waste, flattened by the Romans. And millions of Jews were killed during this war. That war lasted for 8 years, but the Jews have been scattered from that time for 18 centuries before they came back to their own homeland. So we're getting an idea We're talking some massive persecution, and those were to the people that Peter was writing. He was trying to comfort them, and he was trying to say that God cares for them and that they cast their burdens onto Jesus. So we pick it up in chapter 5 and verse 5. Now if we can have verse 5 put on the screen. He says, likewise, you younger people. And by when we see likewise, it's like therefore, we know that that's not the beginning of a verse. It's coming off after something else. It's joining, it's together with something else. So at least we recognize this morning that we're jumping in the middle of a discourse. Likewise, you younger people. Now, please don't be under the misapprehension or be misunderstood that these verses are talking to the children that have just gone out. So it really doesn't apply to you and me. Nor think, well, you know, in the previous verses, he was talking to the pastors, the bishops, the overseers, whatever, elders, pastors. So whatever you may see in your Bible, elders, pastors, bishops, overseers, when I do that, that just means they're interchangeable. I mean, they're all together. You can use any of those words to mean the same thing. This is the people that lead the church. So he's already been talking about the people that lead the church. Now, you know that we have a pastor of a certain age. And that many of us here might think, well, we're older. So we're not younger. So that doesn't apply to us. But here, the younger people means we are not the elder, but we are the younger. It's just a term used for the rest of the congregation. I thought I'd throw that in there. It's rather like if you've read the Epistle of John, he often said, my dear little children. Now, he wasn't talking to infants. He was talking to the general church. It wasn't a derogatory term. It was just mean that he was an elder and he was overseeing the rest of the church, and we were to him his spiritual children. So Peter was mindful of all of this. Now, why is this relevant to us today? This letter, as I said, was written around 60 AD. Well, let me ask you this thing. Are you comfortable speaking openly about your faith? Do you think that you can identify in the public space that you are a Christian and expect no kind of pushback at all? In a social space or in a workplace, can you go about and openly, freely talk about your faith as you do in this place this morning? I think we already know the answer to that. It's a resounding no. See, we used to be a once proud Christian nation. We did a lot for the Lord. We, as a nation, we were a shining beacon. We had kings and queens that professed their faith. Okay, there was one time where there was a fight between the Protestants and the Catholics, and one king or queen would probably kill the other king and queen just because they were either not a Protestant or a Catholic. But nevertheless, Jesus was being proclaimed and God was being honoured in the land. But today, if you identify yourself as a Christian, you probably feel that you're putting a target on your back. Despite our national leaders saying that the UK, this is what they espouse, I'm sure you've heard it on the news, that they espouse that the UK is a tolerant nation. We've all heard that. The UK is it's an inclusive nation. Now, I'm quite sure that when those words are used to the UK, I'm pretty sure they don't have the Christian faith in mind when they're saying it. In fact, elsewhere in the world, Christians are driven underground, i.e. in secret. They hold their services for fear that they may be arrested or anything else. I hope that you would have been keeping up with things in the news, and particularly when it comes to Christian things. Did you come across the news story that there was a woman that was praying silently in the street, and she was arrested? She was arrested because she wasn't even speaking anything. She was praying silently, and she was arrested. And that was only a few months ago. If you decide that you want to do a bit of street preaching, then may I say that we will pray for you to be as bold as a lion when you do so. But I'm sure you are aware that you are at risk of being arrested. Today, in the UK, you can be arrested for preaching the word in the street, as some preachers have found out. Even reading the Holy Scriptures in public. I've read of people being arrested for doing that. And why is that? Because the word of God today can be counted as hate speech. So be under no illusion that today we are being persecuted as Christians in our own nation. As I said, a once proud nation that lifted the banner high for Jesus. But now you can be arrested for doing those things. In fact, it's quite remarkable. It's almost similar to the early days of the book of Acts, where they were doing the very same things. And they were being arrested, and they were being persecuted. So I would suggest that it's not too dissimilar today to what it is there. So we get the context now under which Peter was writing to these people. To cast our cares is because it was under this light of the Christians and the church being persecuted. And why is that? It's because the world system and God's kingdom are, and always have been, in opposition to one another. They are not the same. Never the twain shall meet. They're in opposition to one another, as the New Testament clearly goes on to say. And in fact, in the previous chapter, just to add a little bit more context and background, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14 says this: if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the spirit of the glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. But on your part, he is glorified. So whilst we might want to go about the work of the Lord, and we recognize that that comes with its own sense of danger and persecution, always remember that on their part, he is blasphemed. But on your part, he is glorified. So what do we do when this persecution comes? Well, verse 7, our main focus verse. Cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. You might be feeling overwhelmed by certain situations. And I might incident this, we can apply this same verse. God cares for you whether you're being persecuted or not. Whether you're out in the street evangelizing or preaching the word or reading God's word or even sharing with someone in the workplace. And you know that you're getting that person. Whether you're in that situation or you're just going about your daily business, God cares for you. But if you ever feel that in the state of the nation and the place in which we live, that things are happening where we are powerless, let's face it, who can change the times? Who can change and stop instantly the persecution that's going on all around us? When we see that we are under pressure, then we need to cast our care upon him, because he cares for us. And how do we do that? Simply by taking it to the Lord in prayer. Taking it to the Lord in prayer. One big danger is that we would try to tackle any sort of situation that we come across ourselves. We would tend to worry about the persecution or the difficulties that we might face at work. Well, maybe I need to be quiet when I'm at work and not say anything. If you find that that's an issue, or that you've been found out in the workplace that you're a Christian, and someone, you know, they just don't like that, and all of a sudden their attitude changes towards you and it makes it a little bit more difficult just to go to your work on a day-to-day basis, then you feel powerless under that situation. What do? You take it to the Lord in prayer. We need to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. And we should know that we do not just go to him with frivolous things. In fact, the previous verses help to keep us in check. Before cast your cares upon him, it merely says this, that we would humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. So we don't try and tackle these situations on our own in which we feel powerless, and rightly so. We cannot no longer stop the persecution that comes along, then we can stop the sun rising in the morning, or stopping it from setting at the end of the day. But God is not powerless. We might be powerless, but God is not powerless. God says that we must cast all of our cares upon him. Do not try and turn around and say, well, do you know what? These ones I can handle, but these ones are a little bit out of my league, so I'm going to take them to God in prayer. I will cast those burdens onto God, but these ones I'm going to try and sort out myself. But God says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. In fact, I might say that what we've just read, cast your cares upon, that's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's no different from the 10 suggestions in the Old Testament. If you're going to do that, you know, we read it and think, oh, that's nice. Yeah, cast your cares upon him. He cares for you. Oh, isn't it God nice? No, he's saying he wants you to cast your cares upon him. It's not a suggestion. When you're under these particular situations, whatever you are facing, cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Otherwise, you'll be trying to handle it all on your own. You'll be ignoring what God has asked you to do. And furthermore, you'll probably spend a lot of your time just being anxious about how you're actually going to deal with a situation. And I'm just going to jump, because of time, I'm just going to jump a little bit ahead. I want to share with you that when I was younger, I remember my mother saying this. She said, Brian, and she would say, I'm not going to do it for you this morning, but she would say it in a Scottish accent, because I was born in Scotland. Grew up Scottish. A Scottish accent, lost it when I came down to England. She would say, Brian, you worry a lot. And it was true. I used to think about, well, you know, life's a bit rubbish at the moment. How I'm struggling in this area, I'm struggling in that area. And I used to spend an awful lot of time trying to work out what I'm going to do in the future. How am I going to get out of this situation that I'm in now, the situation that I don't like, to get over there to the place that I do like? That's the place that I want to be. And I've spent an inordinate amount of time to do that. I would try to chart my course through life. But I read, when I became a Christian, probably about 30 years ago or so now, I'm guessing. Since that time, I read two verses that really helped me not to worry and fret about the future. And I'm sure you're all really keen to know what those two pieces of scripture are. The first one, this is James chapter 4 and verse 13 to 16. Now listen to this. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city. We will spend a year there. We will buy and sell and make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. You do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and do that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So the bit that I took from that is that it's all sort of talking about the future, but it says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. That's perfectly true. We might think that the sun's coming up tomorrow morning, or the same thing that happened last week at work will happen this week. I'm going to do the same thing. But we do not know what will happen tomorrow. And we know that. You just have to ask the people that went into tragic circumstances and they died. And they didn't know it was going to be their last day, the day before. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, just one verse. And it says similar to what we've just read. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. And you know what, when I started meditating on those verses, it quickly came to me, it was, well, why? Why do I worry about tomorrow? Why do I worry about things that I have no control over? That's today is my domain, in a sense. In that you just have to worry about your cares, your worries for today. In fact, the scripture that we missed and is in the scripture in the notes is we're about talking about God's provision, where he says, do not worry about tomorrow, for all these things will be added unto you. Right? So God will provide, he will provide for tomorrow. But tomorrow is God's domain. He will worry about tomorrow. He says, take care of the things of today. Sufficient the day, the evil thereof. And just one other thing to, as I come to near the close, if the other type of burden I think that we often might find ourselves struggling with is maybe carrying burdens of sin. It'd be different for each of us. We each have a different walk with the Lord. We're each at different stages in our walk with the Lord. But there might be many of you that struggle with one sin or another, or many sins. And it doesn't matter, it seems, that no matter how hard that you try, that you just can't deal with that sin. You can't just get on top of it and leave it behind. I mean, it's one thing like trying to quit smoking. Now, I used to smoke before I was a Christian. I enjoyed smoking. And soon after becoming a Christian, I realized that, you know, people don't smoke as much in church. And it's not really a thing maybe that Christians should do. I didn't understand why not. But I did know that it wasn't the Christian thing to do. So I put a lot of effort into overcoming that. And I tried and failed many times. But eventually, I did it. I put some thought into it. And it was a challenge. I said, right, well, the people that I hang around with, friends that smoke, I'm going to keep my distance from them people. Sorry, those people, for correct English. I'm going to keep my distance from those people. And I'm going to keep myself out of environments where there isn't a lot of smoke around that just kind of, you know, puts me in that frame of mind. So it was a Christian camp thing. I can't remember the name of it now. Sally, do you remember? It was Ichthus. There was a week-long thing. Ashburnham, that's right. We went down there for a thing. Ashburnham, so I knew no one's going to be smoking now there in public. So I said, that's the time for me. So I said, right, we're going to stop my last packet of cigarettes before we get down there. We get down there and mix it with the Christians, really praise God. And I did it. It was tough. No cigarettes for a week. Never done that before. But then afterwards, when we got back home, it was tough because I came across people that, you know, smoked. But eventually I did it. I kind of got my head down, got through it, and I did it. However, saying that, sin's a lot different. It's harder. If you've grown up with certain things that you know to be sinful, but you've grown up with that, it's just hard just to leave it behind. And Romans chapter 7, we're not going to look at it, but Romans chapter 7 talks about this conflict with sin and with our desire to do righteousness before the Lord. So there's this conflict that goes in. But the end result of that is Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean that we don't have that battle, but what it means is we don't have that condemnation of sin any longer. And I might say, as I come to conclude, that when it comes to this, Jesus himself says in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Amen. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You see, our fictitious atheist at the start, you see, he was saying, all he had in his mind was that God, when you become a Christian, God and Jesus, you follow them, then you're going to get persecution. Who wants to be part of that kind of religion and that faith? But had he known, if he read elsewhere in the scriptures, that God said, "Cast your burdens onto me, because I care for you." Maybe if the atheist knew that God asks us not to worry about anything and that he will provide for our day-to-day needs, our food, our clothing. And perhaps if he recognized that God is always near us and he always cares and he always loves, maybe that atheist wouldn't be so hard on God. And maybe that fictitious atheist would not be a fictitious atheist, become a fictitious believer. But you get the point. You get the point. There's a growing anti-God, anti-religious attitudes that are growing anti-God, anti-religious attitudes in our secular culture. And we have to be aware that God has made provision that if you find yourself in such a place that you can't do anything about, that's a burden, and he doesn't want you to carry on with that burden. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have called us out of this world, that your kingdom is different from the kingdoms of this world, that your kingdom is built on righteousness, that the kingdoms of this world are built on darkness, Lord, and they do not know your ways, nor do they understand them. Lord, but you have called us to walk a righteous path before you in the midst of this dark world. As we walk through this valley of the shadow of death, help us to keep our eyes firmly fixed on you. And when we come against such situations, Lord, that are overwhelming, that give us a deep sense of burden, and cause us in our hearts, Lord, to come before you and lay them before your feet, let us be ready to cast them upon you, because we know that you care for us. And so, Lord, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you for your precious promises, and we thank you for each and every one of us here today that is ready to accept your word and give you praise and give you thanks for all your goodness that you shower upon us each and every day. We thank you, Lord. Amen.
really good word to know that God cares for us. And of course, we have our part to play, don't we? We have to plan and strategize to keep out of trouble and to give everything to Him. So our last song is going to reflect that. And you can stand or sit as we sing, All to Jesus I Surrender. It's not going to be slow, is it? It's quite fast, this one again. So we're singing it with a faster tempo. We're going to sing, All to Jesus I Surrender. Thank you.
Don't forget this evening that we have Alan Cole. He'll be leading a reflective service this evening, and that service also includes communion. So let's close this service in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for being here with us this morning, that we could learn from you, that we can praise you, that we can worship you, and that we have you full in our hearts and our minds. And thank you for the promises. Thank you that we can cast our burdens upon you, and may, as we go from this place, always have a spring in our step and have your word in our hearts, and are ready to sing praise and worship to you in our week coming forth. Amen.
Amen.
Please remember that exit that way for teas and coffees and not that way home. Thank you. What a friend we have in Jesus. Yeah.
Pastor.